We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name's Chris. Maybe you know that. My name's Chris. I'm lead pastor here. I'm really glad to look out and see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of family, a lot of friends here today. Glad you're here at Redemption Church. We're going to be doing an ordination a little bit, but I just really wanted to talk to you. So can I talk to you for just a few moments? All right, hang with me because we're going to move quick. If you can do everything yourself, why would you ever use someone else's help? Why would you include others? And wouldn't you just do it all yourself? God is able to do everything. And He does a lot of things by Himself. I submit to you that He is the ultimate one-man band. Romans 11:36 says this, "For from Him," everyone said from Him, "and through Him," say through Him, "and to Him," say to Him, "are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, "For by Him all things were created." What a resume. You could just stop right there. That's an impressive resume. Oh, He just created all things. I think I would let Him work in my life. What about you? All right. "Things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things," verse 17 says. "And in Him all things hold together." So it's not just enough that He created all things visible, all things invisible, all things powerful, everything. He even holds everything together. If He just stopped for a moment, everything would just fall apart. That's the God we're talking about. John 1:3 says this, "Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." You talk about a one-man band. God deserves all our praise and all our honor for what He's able to do. God does whatever stuff He wants to do. And He does it by Himself. God created the heavens and earth. He did that by Himself. God forms Adam. He does that by Himself. By Himself, He breathes life into Adam. God Himself speaks to Abram, and He forms an everlasting covenant. God alone formed this covenant with Abraham. This covenant is with God alone. And let me tell you, we are also a part of this covenant. Our covenant is with God alone. It's not with a denomination. It's not with a church name. It's not with a nation. It's not with a religion. It is with Jesus, our Lord, only. It goes on. God parted the Red Sea. He did that by Himself. God wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone with His very own finger. He did that Himself. You look in the Bible, everywhere you look, you see a God that is able to do amazing stuff. And he does it by himself. It was God that tore down the walls of Jericho. God that put the words into the mouth of his prophet. I believe that God wants to do something today all by himself. Let me tell you that God didn't need to ask permission. He didn't need to seek a second opinion. He is God and he is the ultimate one-man band. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. This is when God is talking to Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. The word there for God Almighty is actually not a word. It is a Hebrew name. The word is El Shaddai. And it means all sufficient one. When mankind needed a Savior, this very God, this same God that spoke to Abram, he was all sufficient. That means he's able to do everything up to task. He's able to do it. And so when mankind needed a Savior, this very same God, he robes himself in flesh. He walks among us. He is the deity of the universe, robed in flesh. He alone was nailed to a cross. He alone was raised from the dead. That was him. He did that all by himself. Acts 20, 28 says this, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Watch this phrase, which he bought with his own blood. A lot of people say, is that your church there? Is that Redemption Church your church? No, it's not. It's not my church. It belongs to God alone. No other name on this church but his. He purchased it with his own blood. And no one else could do that. He's coming back for his church. And there will be a great war in the heavens. And you'll see an army of angels coming with the Lord Jesus. He's going to have an army with him. But make no mistake, he's going to win that battle all by himself. It's his power that's going to do it. He's all sufficient. He can do it all by himself. He can do it all for himself. He doesn't need the materials. He just speaks those materials into existence. He doesn't need your permission. He has all power in his hand. And he is in need of nothing. That is just his nature. He is the perfect one-man band. Let us always remember that we need God. God doesn't need us. Right? Perhaps you haven't noticed, but humans mess up a lot. If you haven't noticed, come over to my house. I'll show you. We're greedy, we're lazy, we're angry, we're unfocused, we're forgetful, we're kind of dumb sometimes, we're slow to learn, we're hypocritical, we're short-tempered, impatient. We often miss the point. We settle for cliches rather than truth. We have short attention spans. This list, I just didn't have enough time to finish it with how much we mess up. We have a lot of lack in this God we serve. He has no lack in him at all. It would be easy to understand why God, El Shaddai, would choose to do things by himself. Easy to understand. We should understand that perfectly, because have you ever avoided asking someone to do something that you knew you could do better than them? Did you ever struggle with that? Most people struggle with delegation because of that very reason. See, it's just impossible, it seems, for God to need us. But this is unique about our God. God, the infinite one, who he created all these things. He's good at creating things. He creates a situation. A situation that required action. And that situation required action from us. A situation he created that depended on us. What if God did something like that? A situation that was out of his infinite will. A situation that was out of his infinite power. A situation where he just lays it out there and says, okay, what are you going to do with it? If God did that, then in the context of that situation, it's possible for God to need us. I want to tell you today that that is exactly what He's done. We see situations just like this in the Bible. Adam and Eve, I, God, create this world. You oversee this world. You be fruitful and multiply. You name the creatures. You do that. What is God doing? He just created a situation where man needed to do something. Noah, I need you to build an ark. God could have built the ark. Could have done it quite easily. In fact, He could have come up with other situations that didn't even need human involvement. But He purposely made a situation where He needed one man to do something. Abraham, I, God, plan to bless you and make you the father of many nations. What I need you to do, Abraham, we read it, is walk before me. I'll give you the land, you just need to walk. Mary, blessed are you amongst women, Mary. I need you to be the mother of my son, Jesus. He did not create Jesus from the dust of the ground. He could have. He did that with Adam. But no, instead He created a situation. Followers of Jesus having just paid the price for our salvation on the cross, having defeated death, hell, and the grave, having resurrected from the tomb, He informs His followers of a situation. Jesus, having done what no one else could do, now needs His disciples to do something. I want to tell you, it's possible for God to need you. It's something called the Great Commission. And He tells His disciples, I want you to go. I need you to go. I need you to teach. I need you to baptize. I need you to do this. I need you to carry my name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. I need you to do this. I'm talking to you today. God needs you. I'm trying to tell you that El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, has created a situation where you are absolutely needed. He needs your ability. He needs your courage. He needs your voice. He needs your hands. He needs you. Now, can we be honest? That seems like a terrible strategy. Can we be honest for a moment? God, who never messes up, who does everything perfect, He clothes Himself in man and just proves how perfect He is. He walks this earth as the only perfect human that's ever walked. God, why would you be turning stuff over to us? We only break things. We only mess things up. This seems like a terrible strategy. The God who cannot fail has hinged His entire plan upon us. Do you know that? Everything that Jesus did could come for nothing if we don't act. Pressure. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, thank you, Lord. If we turn to you, if we call on you, you will save us. Praise the Lord. But verse 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And verse 15, and how can they preach unless they are sent? Do you get this? Verse 13 is this beautiful picture that I'm hoping everyone in this place has experienced, where you have called on the Lord. He has met you. He has forgiven you. He has done all those things. That is absolutely necessary for salvation coming to Jesus. Amen? But verse 14, you know, how is that ever going to happen? How has that ever happened? Can they call on the one they've not believed in? They've got to believe. But they can't. We have to back up from there, because someone has to tell them who to believe in. They have to tell them Jesus. They have to bring Jesus to them. And then we back up even further. How can they go and tell them except they're sent? What is Paul telling us? He's telling us that we're necessary. He's telling us that God has a situation where He wants to save everyone that calls on Him. But somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to talk. Somebody needs to be sent. So who can preach to Jesus? Who can preach Jesus in this situation? We're moving. Acts 11, verse 13. This is the retelling of the story of an angel at a Gentile's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter." So this angel shows up at Cornelius' house and says, "You need to send men to a city called Joppa for a guy named Simon Peter." Let me tell you, it would be really awesome if you saw an angel, right? It would be pretty unbelievable and unforgettable. Would you agree if you saw an angel, right? I mean, just like, bam, if an angel showed up right here, we would all be like telling everyone in the world about it. Guess what? This angel showed up, and the best he could do was tell them, "Hey, go find Simon." Angels cannot preach the gospel. Verse 14, "He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." Angels cannot preach this message, or he would have just delivered this message right here. But you need to find someone, because God has this situation where he wants to use this guy named Simon. He's failed many times. He's blown it many times. But God wants to use this guy. So angels can't preach Jesus, but nature can't preach Jesus either. Nature can point you to the Creator. We see that in Scripture. It can point you to the truth that there is a God. But I want you to know that the angel didn't say, "Here's what I want you to do, Cornelius. Go outside and look up into the beautiful sky, and there you will receive the Savior." He did not say that. He said, "Send for Simon." Angels can't preach. Nature can't preach Jesus. Let me tell you, God won't preach the gospel. It's not that he can't. I won't say God can't do anything, because he can do all things. And it's not that he can't, it's that he won't. It's that he has purposely created a situation that calls for you. You can declare Jesus. Who can preach Jesus? It is you. Yes, you. You can do a work that angels can't do. You can do a work that God's heavenly creation cannot do. You can do a work that God himself won't do. This God who can do all things has created a situation where you are more than needed. You are essential. Your friends need to meet Jesus, and you're essential to that. Your family needs to know about salvation. You matter greatly in that. Don't just come to church and warm a seat, because you matter in this world. You matter in this room right now. You are essential to God's plan. Perhaps you know that today I'm being ordained as lead pastor of Redemption Church. I'm very excited about that. You might be here to celebrate my ordination, and I really appreciate that. I really do. We will take care of that in a little while, but first, I want to tell you about your ordination. Look at somebody and say, "He's talking about your ordination." Do you know that God has holy orders for you? To ordain means to confer holy orders upon, to appoint. God has holy orders for you. You're to be salt and light in the world. You're to be a city set on a hill, to declare Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission. Do you know that? Do you know that, Redemption Church? He has appointed you to do what no one else can do. I'm here to tell you, you're kind of a big deal. God thinks so. Peter thinks so. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you..." Everybody said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I'm going to already ask for our musician. We're going to be coming to this altar in a few minutes to talk to God. That's what we do every time we come to Redemption Church. We do three things. Everybody's worship, you've done that. Everybody's received the word of God. You're almost completely done with that. And three, we want you to talk to God. I want to ask you, have you been walking in your ordination? This God who has set a plan and a purpose, a situation that calls for you, have you been walking in it? Have you been doing what God needs you to do? Maybe you don't understand that yet. I pray that you understand how much God is wanting to use you and how He's created a situation where He needs you. And I want to tell you about a story from my life. This story involves two roads and Taco Cabana. Don't all great stories involve Taco Cabana? I was in Waco, Texas in the year 2001, and I had this road ahead of me. And people that plan things, I kind of like to plan things. When you're looking at your future, you want to plan things. I'm getting ready to go from one college to another. I'm getting ready to take on a new profession. I'm trying to set all these things out. And so I look out and I say, you know what, I want a good job that takes care of me financially. I want to do a good job that's fulfilling to me. I want to do something that really uses my talents and my abilities and my skills. And I definitely don't want to die of hunger and starvation because I'm bad at it. Amen. Made a plan. So I enrolled in a university, UTA, University of Texas at Arlington. And that was this road I had set out. It made sense. It was something I wanted to do. That was the road. But one day I went to a Taco Cabana. And one of the more surprising things happened in my entire life. The Lord started to speak to me. Now, I'd been to church all my life. I'd given my life to Jesus. He usually talked to me at church. We had this kind of arrangement where I would show up on Sundays and so would He. Lord kind of like just made new rules. And He said, I'll talk to you wherever I want. And I was there at Taco Cabana. And the Lord alerted me that my road was okay. If I wanted to go down that road, you may go down that road. But I've got another road for you. A road where I want to use you. A road where I really need you to do some things for me. And I'll be with you down either road. Here's what was so beautiful about that moment. The Lord said, I will be with you down either road. But I want to tell you just some of the things that are down this road. My power and my blessing are down this road. Other people are going to be saved down this road. I want you to consider this road. And I stayed at Taco Cabana for several hours. I finally went to my car and just kind of prayed to God about this second road. And that is why I'm here today. If you can do everything yourself, why would you ever use someone else's help? Why would you include others? Wouldn't you just do it all yourself? So why in the world would God want to use us? It's because God's every motive in everything He does is love, and it's relationship. God spoke to me at Taco Cabana, and I've been walking with Him ever since. I wasn't sure about everything down this road, but I knew God was in this road. I didn't know exactly where I'd end up. I didn't ever foresee myself standing here right now talking to you. I had no clue about that, but I knew God was down this road. I had no idea who I was going to meet and marry, but I knew God was down this road. I didn't understand how I was going to be able to do the things I was going to be asked of, but I knew God was down this road. I didn't know where the money was always going to come from, and I still don't on this road, but I do know one thing. I am taking every step because God is down this road. You have no idea the appointments God has for you. This last week in the Metroplex, there was a terrible accident. A bus flipped over and many people were hurt. Two people died. It was all over the news. What you might not know is that there was a man who had gotten into his car because he was going to go down a road in life. And he was going to go to work because that's what his day called for. And he was going to go because you've got to have money and you've got to do these things. So he's going down his road of, all right, here's my day. But he came upon this flipped over bus. And God, in that moment, showed him a different road. He said, why don't you get out of this bus and why don't you go help people? That was Bruce Fain. If you don't know Bruce Fain, you're really missing out. He was one of the first responders on that Thursday morning. And he was taking people and praying for people and helping people. What was happening? This God needed Bruce's hands. This God needed Bruce's prayers. That's what he needed. God has need of you, and you have no idea. It's not just a one-time decision. It's not just, I'm going to be called into ministry, because some of you might not be called into a full-time ministry. But I want you to know this, that God has an appointment for you. He has a holy calling for you. He has an ordination for you, and it will come when you least expect it. That road will appear, and you might not know everything that's down that road, but you mark my words, God is down that road. Isn't that the hope for your family right now? God is down that road. Isn't that the hope for your life? God is down that road. Your friends, I'm here to tell you, God is down that road. You walk it, you'll see them find Jesus. Redemption Church, we've had a rocky past, a rocky present, and in a future where that's full of a lot of question marks. But I'm here to tell you, I know this road we're walking on. God is down this road. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We do three things. Like I said, everybody comes to the altar and talk to God. I know we have a lot of visitors in this place. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. Let me just tell you what this altar is about. This altar is about coming to this road that has God in it, and just asking Him, God, You direct me. And You lead me. If you want to do that today, you're welcome. These altars are open. No one is going to bother you. No one is going to mess with you. You've maybe been to churches before that they will push you down. We're not going to do that. You just come to this place. You come and talk to God with us. If you do want special prayer, I want you to come into the two first feet, because we have a God who's in this house.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.